In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
A setback, is that what you might call it? The 10th Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled that, contrary to most other courts higher than that, namely the Supreme Court, the Little Sisters of the Poor will have to provide contraception coverage in their insurance coverage for those who work for them. Now, this is only the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, and the Supreme Court has been saying different things here. What is the track record of religious liberty when it comes into contact with the HHS mandate? This mandate that is now, probably a year and a half old, if not even more. This mandate that requires religious institutions, at least ostensibly, to fund contraception against their consciences, against their stated beliefs. We're going to answer that question with Daniel Blomberg here, legal counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, in the first few minutes of this hour of Issues Etc. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 14th of July. After our conversation with Daniel Blomberg, Dr. Ryan Anderson will join us from the Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk with him about strategies for the revival of natural marriage and answer the question, what does he mean when he says, are dissidents on marriage, like those who still defend natural marriage, are they going to be treated like bigots or are they going to be treated like pro-lifers? We'll see what he means by that question in just a few minutes here on the program. Then the Issues Etc. comment line is always open for our beloved on-demand listeners whenever, wherever they listen, 618-223-8382. We're going to go to the Issues Etc. comment line and respond to as many of the comments as we can fit in the second hour of Issues Etc. Our call-in number 1-877-623-MY-IE. 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about this morning's 10th Circuit Court of Appeals ruling on the HHS mandate, Daniel Blomberg. He's legal counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty based in Washington, D.C. Daniel, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. It's good to be here.
It's a long story to tell, but so far, what's the scorecard on religious liberty when it comes to these plaintiffs in this lawsuit?
Well, so the scorecard on religious liberty overall in the effort for religious ministries to protect their ability to serve their God without having to participate in the government scheme to hand out abortion-inducing drugs, the scorecard is actually pretty good. The overwhelming majority of district courts around the country, well over 30, have ruled in favor of the religious ministries, and the Supreme Court, every time it looks at one of these cases, protects the religious ministries and rules against very aggressive government attempts to force the religious ministries to violate their faith. Unfortunately, what we just saw today is the latest in a string of decisions by federal courts of appeals to go the wrong direction. And so today was the fifth decision from a federal court of appeals to force a religious ministry to violate their faith.
What precisely was the case here in the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, and what precisely did the court end up saying today?
So the lead case today is a Little Sisters of the Poor case, which has been widely tracked because a Little Sisters of the Poor went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court just about a year and a half ago, and after the 10th Circuit, again, refused to protect them, they went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, wait a second, let's put the brakes on this, we'll protect the Little Sisters and give them a chance to have their day in court, and then they sent it back down to the 10th Circuit for a more measured deliberation of the case because it had been up on an emergency appeal to the 10th Circuit originally. And so that's where things stood until this morning when the 10th Circuit again ruled the wrong way and again put the Little Sisters in the position of having to choose between violating their faith or paying millions and millions of dollars in fines to the federal government, to the IRS specifically.
They issued their ruling on the basis of two points here. I want your reaction to both of them. First of all, that participating in the government's contraception delivery scheme, that's their language, is as easy as obtaining a parade permit, filing a simple tax form, or registering to vote. In other words, it was not a difficult thing to do. Is that relevant here?
No, it's not relevant at all. I mean, think of it this way. So the Supreme Court just decided a case this past January that had to do with a Muslim prisoner who didn't want to shave his beard. And the prison officials were saying, no, you have to do it. And it would have been very easy for him to shave his beard, right? Men across the country get up every morning and shave their beards. It's not a hard thing. The issue isn't how difficult it is to physically do the thing the government's forcing you to do, but rather whether God tells you to do that thing or not to do that thing. And so that the Little Sisters, as the government said, with a stroke of a pen, could sign forms that reform, that change their health plans to make them contraceptive delivery systems. Sure, it's an easy thing to do in your hand, but it's an incredibly difficult thing for these women to do, to violate their faith.
The other aspect of the Tenth Circuit Court of Appeals ruling that I wanted your reaction to was that although the organization, in this case Reaching Souls International, Reaching Souls sincerely believes that participating in the scheme makes them complicit in the overall delivery scheme, the court found, ultimately rejected the merits of this claim because the court believes that the scheme relieves Reaching Souls of complicity. Is the issue what the court believes about complicity?
Well, that's unfortunately where all of these cases, all these Court of Appeals cases, have gotten it wrong on precisely this point. And they've done it over strong objections from courts, Court of Appeals judges across the country, and as I mentioned earlier, a lot of federal district court judges. They've all said, no, that's not the way you do religious freedom law. That's not the way courts are supposed to do that. It's not like courts are supposed to sit around and think, ha, how hard is it to shave a beard? That's not too hard. Okay, the government can force you to do it. And by the same token, the government and judges don't get to come in and say, you know, we don't really think that what we're forcing you to do makes you morally complicit. Therefore, even though you believe that God says don't do this because it does make you morally complicit, we can force you to do it. So that's the basic issue, is who gets to decide what religious beliefs are? If the federal government and federal bureaucrats get to do it, that's a dangerous thing for any religious freedom anywhere.
And it almost sounds as though the court is saying we get to decide what violates your conscience.
That's exactly what it is. The courts that have gone the wrong direction on this have uniformly said, hey, this isn't a burden on your faith at all. Even though you're coming in here and telling us, yes, it is. Yes, we can't do this. No, there's no way that we can take this action that you're asking us to do because it violates our faith. The courts have uniformly said, no, it doesn't. It doesn't violate your faith. As one court said, where's the complicity? And the answer is, the complicity is exactly where the Little Sisters of the Poor say it is. And judges don't get to second guess that.
So where does it go from here, from the Tenth Circuit Court of Appeals?
So the Little Sisters, you know, they just got this opinion a couple hours ago. They're looking at it very closely. One option, obviously, is to go back to the U.S. Supreme Court, which has already provided protection for them and for several other religious ministries. Again, every time one of these cases goes up to the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court has ruled for the religious ministry and against the government, even though the government's been very aggressively pushing against the ministries. And every one of those cases, they're extraordinary examples of the court taking action. Normally, the court doesn't act on an emergency fashion. Here, it's not just done it once or twice, but several times to protect religious ministries that were being forced to violate their faith by the exact same kind of incorrect analysis that we see here from the Tenth Circuit.
Is it safe to say that these religious ministries, including the Little Sisters, are in fact standing in court today as proxies for virtually every parachurch organization in the United States?
Well, one of the things that's really important about these cases is the way that the government has come along and said, hey, listen, we're going to decide, A, what your religious beliefs are, you know, what your religious beliefs and your theology about complicity is, but also B, who is religious enough to be treated with respect? Who's religious enough to get free exercise under the U.S. Constitution and the Religious Freedom Restoration Act? Because one of the things that's happening here, and that it's perhaps missed a little bit, is that the government has come out and said, hey, you know what, we recognize the scheme we've set up is too burdensome for churches. We couldn't force a church to do this, and so we're not going to. We will exempt the bishops. But then they turn around and they look at the nuns and they say, but you, sister, you're not religious enough to get an exemption. You have to participate in our scheme. If you don't do it, we'll fine you the exact same fines that we were going to fine Hobby Lobby and all the other businesses out there that were facing a very similar kind of mandate until the Supreme Court intervened last year.
So do you expect the plaintiffs here to send this back up to appeal again to the Supreme Court?
Well, they wouldn't be in this position if they didn't have the strongest and sincerest belief on this issue. This is not a game for them. So they need to find a route to success, and they need to find a way to be protected. And one of the very odd things about this situation, too, is that the Supreme Court just 2 weeks ago blessed the government's insurance exchange scheme, which provides health insurance for millions of people nationwide. So that scheme is set up, it's running, and the government's actually crowing about how well it runs all over the country. And the Little Sisters employees who don't like the Little Sisters health care and would prefer to go get some that has contraceptive on it, they can go to those plans. They can get them from the government. And so the government has an alternative. It has another way of doing the thing it wants to do without forcing the Little Sisters to be involved, without forcing them to violate their faith. That's what makes this so incredible. Normally, when we have a conflict between religious liberty and some sort of government action, it's kind of a sincere thing, like the government really wants to accomplish something that it can't do any other way. That's not what we have here at all. The government has other ways of doing this. It just refuses to take advantage of them. Instead, it's choosing to come after the Little Sisters and to force the Little Sisters to violate their faith.
You've mentioned several times here that the Supreme Court has consistently found in favor of religious liberty. Consistently thought that the law ought to make way for religious liberty. Is this court, although its track record is very good on that issue, is it in some sense speaking out of two sides of its mouth, especially with the recent Obergefell decision?
I don't think there's anything in the Obergefell decision that says that we have to force the Little Sisters of the Poor to violate their faith. Matter of fact, I think there are things in that decision that say specifically that religious people need to have space in society and that government can't come along and force them to give up their faith as a condition for of being a citizen in society. So I don't see anything in Obergefell that says the Little Sisters have to get forced by the federal government to pay millions of dollars in fines. Take that money away from the elderly poor that they've been serving for 175 years and go give it to a bunch of IRS bureaucrats. That's just wrong, and that's unnecessary.
What's behind this? Because this simply cannot be great PR for the HHS mandate. What is behind the persistence of the government on this particular issue, the HHS mandate?
You know, you'd have to ask them, but what they say over and over again is that they want to provide seamless health care coverage. That's what they want to do. Over and over again, they say, we've got to provide this seamless, free health care. Well, but the issue is they've got the health care system in place. You know, when all the employees of the Little Sisters of the Poor chose to come and join them in their ministry of serving the elderly poor, they all knew what kind of health care the Little Sisters of the Poor provided. They knew they were Catholic. They knew they were faithful to their Catholic beliefs, that's what animated them. It's not a surprise. And so if somebody who has been working at Little Sisters of the Poor for a long time, says, you know what, I'd really like to go get some contraceptives. They can do that, and they can do it for free on the government's exchanges if the government wants to do that. It's the government who's standing in the way and is forcing this kind of pressure on religious ministries. And if the government is willing to do that to the Little Sisters of the Poor, the question that religious people and frankly people of good faith across the country need to be asking themselves is, what will the government do to me? What will the government do to my ministry, to my business, to my place of employment, to my, you know, the things that I'm trying to do with my family? If it's willing to go after the Little Sisters of the Poor and force them to violate the faith that animates their ministry of 175 years, even though it has other ways of accomplishing what it's trying to do, what will they do to the rest of us?
Do you have any concerns, although you have said here that the definition of, even by their own admission, the HHS mandate is too burdensome for churches, per se. Do you have full confidence that principle is going to remain in place here?
Well, I mean, I think we've seen incremental gains before, and so if the federal government is allowed to continue playing this kind of bait-and-switch game where they say, you know, we're going to force you to do this, and we're going to pretend like you're not doing it. For instance, this whole thing that the government's doing, they call it an opt-out. They say, we're letting you have an opt-out, and so you don't have to provide the contraceptives anymore. That's just wrong. That's just false. It's Orwellian. If you look at what the sisters are actually having to do, they're having to sign a form that transforms their health insurance plan and gives incentives to their health insurance providers to provide these drugs to their employees. The government has ways that truly would exempt the sisters from being involved and would still provide the drugs. But it's not choosing those. It's choosing the ones that force the sisters to be involved and force them to be involved with changing their plans. So if the government's going to play those kind of Orwellian word games when it comes to, you know, the little sisters of the poor, again, it would not be stunning if they tried to play Orwellian word games about how they were going to treat churches and other types of religious ministries that, at least right now, it says it respects.
Daniel Blomberg is legal counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty based in Washington, D.C. You'll find a link to the Beckett Fund under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Daniel, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Todd. Good to be here.
When we come back, Dr. Ryan Anderson will join us from the Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk a little bit about strategies for reviving natural marriage and answer the question, will the dissidents on marriage, like us, will we be treated like bigots or like pro-lifers? We'll get into that question after this.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.